This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're joined by Lieutenant Colonel McMillan Achu of NORAD. They're our friends, too.
Yes, they are. The NORAD is good people.
Good people dealing with us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
You are most welcome, sir. So you're part of the team that polices airspace. Is that correct?
So in NORAD, we are the North American Aerospace Defense Command, right? So we are in charge of keeping North America safe. That's a primary mission, right?
That's a huge job.
It is. It is. It's challenging, but we appreciate the men and women there, you know, come up to the command to be able to execute that mission, and we try to do our best to do it safe. So we are a binational command.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with our close national partners of Canada. So the North American Aerospace Command is the United States and Canada, not forgetting Alaska, extending up to that portion.
Okay, well, let's talk about what exactly you do at NORAD.
So at NORAD, primarily I am Air Chief, which is in charge of coordinating that airspace safety from the tactical all the way to the operational side of things.
Okay, so you're the guy who decides what airplanes to scramble and where to send them, kind of thing, if that needs to be done?
I wish I had that type of authority, but no. I like to think of myself as the advisor to the people that actually, the general officers that make those final decisions up all the way to the higher levels of the all the way to the president, of course.
Okay.
So it's a whole chain of command from
right.
the tactical all the way up.
So you're the guy that is analyzing threats or devising scenarios, that kind of thing, and responses?
I can think about it that way. So, but we have a whole team. It's a team effort, right? You have every input from the tactical fighters themselves that are in charge of executing an intercept if it does happen, all the way to the generals that are deciding what to do if we do come up with a difficult situation.
Yeah, well, as we've seen over in Ukraine, drones have become incredibly useful, and I would think that you guys must be really concerned because they're awfully hard to defend against.
Drones are difficult, but if you think about what we do right now, our focus is more of protecting not so much of drones, but drones is one of the things we do. But at this point, let's talk about a little bit of how we make sure civil aviation, general aviation in particular, is done in a safe way.
Okay.
Just to keep people safe as they go up and they're executing and protecting the president, of course, during his movements. Making sure, I mean, post 9/11 was a good example of why we are here. Making sure that you don't have nefarious people trying to use general aviation to cause harm to North America.
So it's safe to say that 9/11, you have to reevaluate a lot of your policies after that?
That's a safe thing to say.
And they err on the side of caution, which means for us, don't do anything dumb.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I would say planning, right? Planning kind of gets us away from that, you know, I wouldn't call it dumb, but the things that we don't want to have happen, right?
Right, right.
And we try to advise all the general aviation entities out there to say, hey, there's something called a notation to airmen, right? NOTAMs, they call them. So just read those before you try to take off and have a flight plan. You know, plan your...
Well, on a personal note, I live outside Philadelphia, so whenever President Biden came home for the weekend, the TFR extended all the way up beyond my house. So it was interesting to see all of a sudden there's no more airplanes. Where'd everybody go? So, and I understand that one of the airports I go to, New Garden, did have someone requested to land there because they blew the TFR. And he had to answer some questions.
You know, on the other side of the coin, too, a lot of people are not familiar with the fact that model aviation is affected by these TFRs as well. Once again, when Biden was home,
They're grounded.
Yeah, they are. We had a model field we do an event at, and we had to get special permission from Secret Service and several other alphabet agencies so that we could fly our model planes. And the first question they asked was, are you flying drones? No, we're not. And we got along well with them. We had fun.
Having fun, that's the key to it, right? I mean, once those TFRs come up, or they're not trying to take away from the fun we're having, there are procedures. Those TFRs don't just pop up. And that's why we have those, you know, the Secret Service would not just allow the president to do whatever he wants, right? They want to make sure whatever he does, it's safe.
Right.
So we try to publish those ahead of time. The Secret Service does a coordination with FAA to say, hey, this chunk of airspace, we need those for a specific time. So we publish those. I mean, we, meaning the FAA, does, and we also monitor it at NORAD to make sure that we provide the protection over those published airspace. And you mentioned something about, you know, planning and having the procedures, special permissions to go into it. So having those authorized codes to be able to identify yourself while you're flying a flight plan. So once you go into those, we know who you are. We have your flight plan. You're talking to somebody, and they're giving you that permission. They know who you are, and they're tracking everything. So
you're saying that even though there's a TFR, with the right procedures and talking to the right people, you may get permission to fly through it?
Yes. So, and that's the talk, squawk, and follow your flight plan. 1200 squawk is not an authorized squawk in the TFR, just when it's protected by the president, right? So once you file a flight plan, you've read your NOTAMs, you follow the procedures, then the NOTAMs come when you click on that published flight restricted area, the TFR we call them. They have procedures on what to do to have permission. Typically, those TFRs do not just extend beyond reasonable airspace, right? It's typically a 30 nautical miles on the outside, and with an inner meringue, typically about a 10 nautical mile more restricted. If you have to take off from that 10 nautical miles, you have to have special procedures, and also with the 30 nautical miles, right? You have to be talking to somebody, you have to have an assigned code, and you file a flight plan. If you do those three things, typically you will be allowed to take off. There might be certain circumstances where you're not allowed to. It's just the inconvenience of it, but we have to also consider the nature of protecting our president, right?
Well, so, I also imagine that you consider the proposed route of this person. Like, if they're in the 10-mile ring, but they're immediately heading out from it, you're not so concerned. But if they have to traverse over whatever it is you're protecting, then you're a lot less likely to grant them permission, I would think.
And that's something where at Secret Service, when we do this, we take the analysis, right, and we go with, you know, different TFRs have different rules, and we set those rules based upon the threat posture that we have perceived to exist.
It's a different world they live in.
It is. You know? It is.
Us blissfully unaware.
But I was thinking, too, you know, if you're talking to them, it's a big difference between, say, skirting the edge of the TFR versus flying right over, directly over whatever it is you're trying to protect. Big difference.
Very big difference.
I would still think that if you're flying directly over, they're more likely to say you can divert around, you cannot pass over.
I would rather divert around,
yeah,
because that way you don't get into trouble. You don't have those problematic F-16 intercepts and the funny questions that come after.
It all boils down to planning.
Yes,
planning,
exactly.
Planning, reading your NOTAMs.
And it can't be last minute. I imagine you have to do that a couple of weeks in advance if you know you're going to do this and you know there's going to be a TFR.
And usually minimum of 48 hours that those TFRs are published.
Right.
So if you're doing your plan, you have enough time.
Okay.
And if it all fails, talk to somebody while you're airborne. 121.5.
Okay.
Guard radio. And if, you know, just...
That's by that point you realize, oh, no, I've messed up. And let's try and make this less mess up.
And then you can fill out one of those NASA reports afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. I'm sure it's been done.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, well, get out of jail free card is awfully enticing.
Yes, it is.
So,
but that doesn't forgive all sins.
So how many TFR do you have to process? I mean, is this one a month? I mean, obviously with Biden, wherever the president is going, there's a TFR. There's ones that recur, like when he goes home, where I guess it's Mar-a-Lago now. That's a standard TSR. You just turn it on again.
And those are the more frequent ones. We have the presidential TFRs, and we also have other TFRs, like, you know, having the National Assembly, and there are other events that it's determined of a valuable, you know, requirement to protect. And it's there are all the TFRs out there. We don't protect every single TFR. We have the critical TFRs that we actually pay attention, like the presidential TFR, National Assembly, and so forth.
So you're not necessarily scrambled over the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl is a big one. It's okay. A big concern. We would have a TFR over the Super Bowl.
And we've had those. Backed up with teeth.
Lots of teeth.
Yeah, lots of people who are not happy.
And if you do have that intercept, don't panic. Just follow the rules.
Well, see, you should probably paint that on the side of the F-16. Don't panic. You know?
Yeah.
I'm here to help you.
Right. But you know what they fail to understand is it's not the guy on your left that you're worried about. It's that guy behind you.
It's the guy in trail, yeah.
Yeah, he's in weapons range.
We'd like to assure you that these missiles are our standard form of greeting.
Yes.
And not to be concerned. All right, we've been talking with Lieutenant Colonel McMillan Achu of NORAD. Thank you, sir, for your service. Thank you for everything you do that none of us ever know about.
Thank you very much. A safe flying day is a good day.
Yes, it is.
It sure is. All right, this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.